Yahweh blessed him and give him knowledge. He gave David the resources and the wealth. And, of course, that was passed on to Solomon as he inherited it. But when Solomon died, after he died, we find that the Bible tells us that Rehoboam became king. And in chapter 14, it talks about the administration of Rehoboam, and we find out that he was not like David. He certainly wasn't anything to compare to Solomon. But you know, Solomon himself, the Bible says in the 11th chapter of 1 Kings, if you want to read why that Yahweh had to wait patiently for Solomon to die before he wrung the kingdom of Israel out of the hands of his administration, he was really ticked off at Solomon. But he had sworn to David that he would let Solomon sit on his throne as long as he lived, and he waited patiently until he died. And then when Rehoboam came to the kingship, the Bible said he wasn't wise. He didn't listen to wisdom and knowledge. And the old men of the kingdom that advised Solomon, and he'd made some pretty wise moves, obviously, and we're going to tell you how rich and how powerful he was. If you were to look at Solomon's riches today in the amount of gold, and gold is over, it's almost $1,100 an ounce, let's say. But you're going to be amazed when I give you some figures of Solomon's salary. He was paid 666 talents of gold per year. Now, if he was to really add that up in today's figure, at the price of gold, it would be over $3 billion. $3 billion. And so that's quite a handsome salary, even at the time he was in his heyday. Solomon, we're talking about some. It was still a pretty hefty figure, even in that day. If you would count it up, and I said $3 billion, I meant $3 trillion. At $350 an ounce. One shield, he had 300 gold shields, and that would have been at gold, which was let's say $350 an ounce. Now today it's almost $1,100, and of course that figure would be inflated and go way up, and you could see 3 pounds of gold at over $1,000 an ounce. You could see what one shield would be worth. He had 300 of those, and they was all solid gold. They weren't 14 karat. They wouldn't dilute it down with alloys and other metals. They were 100% solid gold, and that's what Solomon left Rehoboam. Now you talk about an inheritance. Think about if your father left you something of that nature, just the gold. Would have been like in the trillions of dollars. And this is how powerful that Solomon had become in the ministry of David, all for the sake of David. Now, because the Bible said that the Father found David when he weighed up David, and he evaluated the worth of David, he made a distinct honor to David. And there's no other writer in the Bible, or no other prophet, or no other person in the Bible that has this attributed to him like David. I have found David, a man after my own heart. So, no wonder you love to read the Psalms. You know that the Bible says that the Messiah was acquainted with grief and sorrow, and so was David. He said if he were to bottle up all the tears that I have shed, it would almost be like a river. And David was a man acquainted with grief and sorrow, and every time that he weighed in, he always tipped the balance in favor of the righteousness integrity. Not that he was righteous, because he failed and he sinned. And if you really think about us today, we fail and we come short. So where do you stand today? That's not an excuse. The Bible said the best you can do is filthy rags. But the Bible said for you to strive to enter in. Now, the Bible says they that despise Moses' law, they died without mercy. Consider yourself. With all this gestalt of evidence laid at your feet, the abundance of the knowledge that has been put into your hands. Remember, these men, they were writing history as they went along, and these things were written that you may believe and search the scriptures daily. And you see, you've got an advantage, so you don't have any excuse like they did. And yet, they had more zeal. It seems like they certainly had more knowledge. And it seems like that they were blessed or rejected very quickly. And that's because of the theocratical government that Yahweh had placed and placed these men over it. And Rehoboam was a bad king. And unlike Solomon, his father, Rehoboam was an unwise king. And he became a very bad king. And he was actually the son of Solomon and Naamah, and she was an Ammonite woman. Now, I don't know what that had to do with the lineage here, but I just don't know about these things. And so then we're talking about Rehoboam. If he had the right bloodline to set up there, I really don't think he did. And that's why that I believe that the house of David through Solomon was discredited, and the genealogy pointed a finger at another side of the bloodline, and it will be Nathan. And it's wonderful if we go to Luke 3:38, and you can read that it wasn't Solomon that Christ came through, according to Luke. Now, in the Gospel of Matthew, his descendants are directed through Solomon, and yet there's a difference in the genealogy, and I'd like to point that out to you to show you that Satan had already worked his way in to unbalance the verdict here and the just weights and measures. Now when the king in Babylon was drinking out of these vessels. These are the same vessels that was part of the kingdom. And they were solid gold. We'll find out that even in Solomon's house up in Lebanon, he went up there and built him a house. And this is where he had the shields. And they were on display. And every time he'd go up on a Sabbath or a festival or a full moon, he would go up in honor. He would go up, and he had 300 men that carried these 3-pound shields, and they would stand on the castle mount of the building, and the sun would glisten in the pure solid gold. And what a spectacle it was when Solomon came parading into town. Or when he visited his villa, his home up in Lebanon, which means White Mountains, if you will, and so he would go up there, and it was a getaway place for him. And he had everything in the house. There was no silver, there was no silverware. Everything, even the vessels that he ate out of, and the spoons and the forks, and what we call the silverware, it was goldware. I mean, he was top of the line. I mean, he had everything in the house. The Bible says in the 14th chapter that everything that he had was gold. And you wonder, what was silver? You know, I mean, silver was not in demand in Solomon's time. And like I say, he was paid 666 talents. That was his salary. And it's amazing how much. much money that he would have, it would be over $3 trillion a year. And he was rich with beyond riches. That's Solomon. And here, Rehoboam, he comes in and he inherits all this. And here come the northern house. Remember now that Rehoboam is set in kingship as over the house of Judah, and Israel is asking for mercy. And when they came to Rehoboam, who was born about 975 B.C., he was 42 years of age. We're going to find that out, because he was 47 when the king of Egypt, the Pharaoh, we're going to talk about him, when he came up and he defeated Rehoboam, when he found that the kingdom was divided. You know what the Bible said? It says a divided house won't stand. So when you understand that the house is being divided, you can bet your bottom dollar that Satan is in the mix. Satan comes to kill, steal, destroy, and divide. Yahweh came for unity and peace, but he came with truth, and truth's so hard to hang on to. You know, the love of money is the root of all evil. The way you try people is that you put money out there, and when there's money involved, you watch the snakes. You'll see the true character of a person when there's money on the line. And the greediness of that money will expose the snake inside the person. And this is what is going to happen to Rehoboam. Now, when he had ascended to the throne, he was visited by the 10 tribes. And like I say, they asked him to lower their taxes, to make it a little bit easier on them. They had to pay tribute. And all this money and the things that Solomon got was because of the taxes. And Israel was burdened, and they didn't want to pay these high taxes. And they petitioned the king to lower the taxes, just like today. We're having such a system installed that, you know, free health, everything free, everything provided by the government. You have to pay for that, lady. Nothing's free. And people are really buying into the Obama plan when they talk about social services and this is free and that is free, and all you got to do is come to the government and get your handout. Well, those handouts are the result of somebody being heavily taxed. And when Rehoboam was advised, after the old counselors, when they advised him to lower the taxes of the 10 tribes, and Rehoboam reappointed, you need to listen to the elders. When the elders speak, and the Bible said, consider them that are over you. And when your elders come together and they reason, and you have a meeting, and that's why that having elders and men of wisdom, in the multitude of counsel, there is safety. When you go out on your own, when you work on your own, when you don't work as a group, when you're not unified with your decisions, when you make the call and you act out of order, you're out of order. And this is what Rehoboam done. He was out of order. He consulted with the young counselors that had grown up with him. He appointed them probably because favoritism, and they told him to increase the taxes immediately. And that's when Rehoboam, he rejected the older advisors, and he did what the young advisors had said. You see, bad counsel will give you an unjust weight. And when you make your decisions in life, you better believe that there's consequences. Be not deceived, for Yahweh is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And with this youth and inexperience, which was no match for the wisdom of the elders, that's why that the Bible said, give heritages to the elders, to bow before the hoary head. You know, if you're a Johnny Come Quickly and you don't have no experience, and you look over the older people in the group and you won't consider the hoary head and things of this nature, and you can go foolishly down the road to wind up before the judgment and wanting. Now, here, Rehoboam, he didn't want for anything. He already had everything his father had left him. Gold. I mean, nothing, silver, everything that in the they even had an ivory throne built, and they had 12 lions in the kingdom, in the throne room, and these were overlaid with gold, pure ivory, and the Bible says that he had a navy that was second to none. And they would come every 3 years. It took them 3 years everywhere they went now, ladies and gentlemen. And I've told you in our series of the House of Dan. I hear a preacher last night saying that Dan was an evil tribe. He's a lying varmint. He don't have any understanding. Just because that Dan wasn't in the circle, Dan didn't have any possession in the circle. He moved down into the sea and became a mariner. The tribe of Dan is you know, everybody's saying, well, Dan became the evil snake. And you know, that just perturbs me when I hear these false prophets bellowing like the beast that they are, saying that the house of Dan was a serpent tribe. That is ridiculous. Dan was one of the sons of Jacob. And in the inheritance, you think Yahweh would let one of his sons miss the inheritance when he said, I've lost none? And Dan became of those that abode in the ship. And this is what Solomon was using. The navy of Dan took them 3 years to sail from the Middle East to wherever they went. It took a year and a half over and a year and a half back of sailing. And I believe they came into, and I've said this, they came into America, the land of Ophir, the land of gold. And they brought back everything to Solomon. Every 3 years they'd come in with a load of precious things that was exotic and were not available in what we call the sandbox today. And so Rehoboam had all this laid up for him. And instead of lightening up and giving a break, he said, I'm going to increase. My taxes will be like my little finger compared to my father's waist. In other words, my father taxed you like about the size of my finger, but I'm going to tax you about the size of my father's waist. That was a great big increase. But in other words, his taxes would be bigger than his father's. He was a fool. He didn't know that he was being weighed. He was being tried. And he was listening to the devil. You see, greed, the love of money, is the root of all evil. If there's evil around in the group, it'll be something directly related to money, to wealth. Because money is the root of all evil. And when you get to the bottom of everything that is not just weighted, you'll find that it has to do with the taxation of the righteous, increasing their debts. Right now, ladies and gentlemen, we owe about $15 trillion of national debt that the international bankers have laid on the House of America. And just like Rehoboam, now Obama, he has spent more money in less than a year than the Bush administration spent in 8 years. And I was appalled at what George Bush spent on the wars that he was fighting abroad. Useless wars. We're over in Afghanistan for one thing. We're over there for the opium and the heroin. And the poppy fields. That's all we're there for, ladies and gentlemen. You may think that we're there for national defense, that the camel jockeys are about to blow us up, you know, you fell for that, and George Bush is one set it up. And it was for the pharmaceutical companies that has to have these ingredients to make their addictive substances, and these are those who are going to be one day weighed in the balance and found wanting. And when Rehoboam, he decided to ignore the people. And the house of Israel in the northern kingdom, they revolted, and the nation was divided. The 10 tribes formed the northern nation of Israel. And the 2 tribes, which was Judah and Benjamin, who was almost miscegenated away and killed, they were just a small group of them, but they were called the 2 tribes, that Yahweh would have a seed. And the Bible said, unless he'd have left us a seed, we'd all been like the Sodom and Gomorrah. We'd have been gone. And you see Yahweh's mercy. And in the 11th chapter of Luke, as we start this series, we're going to give you a series about just weights and measures. And we're going to tell you that the judgment, in the judgment, you're being judged right now on your performance. In the day of judgment, when you stand before him, when the final verdict is given, you can't do one thing to undo what you've done. If you haven't served him, you're going to be found wanting. If you haven't repented, you're going to be found wanting. If you haven't been baptized in the correct name, you're going to be found wanting. And ladies and gentlemen, it's very important for you to be found in Yahweh's favor with mercy and judgment and grace. And those are the things that you need to seek for in the just measurements. Rehoboam, who fought, grew up rich. He was a rich kid. He was probably spoiled by Solomon. Solomon would come home with a different woman every night. And Rehoboam was used to that, seeing his father. The Bible says in the 11th chapter of 1 Kings, it said that Solomon loved many strange women. And Rehoboam was privy to that. No doubt that growing up, that he had his fill of these strange women, just like his father. And he was evil from the word go, and Yahweh did not like him. Yahweh was against him, and the measures and the weights was against him from the word go, because he knew the integrity of his heart. He was a fool. And because he decided to ignore the 10 tribes, and he began on a bad note, and his rule went down all the way, and in the 5th year, now he only reigned 5 years, at the age of 47, Egypt came with a coalition of other nations and invaded Jerusalem under the leadership of the Pharaoh Shishak. And when Shishak came in, he knew the opportunity. He knew that the kingdom of Israel had been divided. And remember, we know that Solomon had married one of the Pharaoh's daughters. Isn't that strange? But after that Solomon died, everything was fair game. Shishak didn't have to honor any covenants. And then finding that the 10 tribes were separated from the kingdom of Rehoboam, he only had 2 tribes to defend himself. And of course, the Pharaoh kicked his butt. Now listen to this. If you listen to the wrong crowd like Rehoboam did, you're going to get in the same predicament, and you're going to come up short. It is best that you abide in the ship of understanding and wisdom and knowledge, that you stay in the fold. You don't wander outside the walls, like I said last night, and become lukewarm. And you lose your orientation. You know, but when you get out of away from the fire, you're going to get cold. That's like Peter. He was outside warming by another man's fire in a circle. But it wasn't the circle of Yahweh. He had studied 3 years in apprenticeship with the Messiah. He'd learned and sat at the feet of the Messiah, and he had been educated in just weights and balances of the things that are spiritual. And you've got to be able to discern between that which is carnal times, ladies and gentlemen, people love the tradition, and the balances are in favor of the carnal, and the spiritual man is left wanting. But if you'll fast, and if you'll pray, and if you'll seek Yahweh, and if you'll listen to the hoary heads, if you'll listen to the elders that have been appointed by those in the group to lead them, and then every time there's a decision, that you stand and lift the cup and the final salute to Yahweh, and then you go off and forget what manner of man you were, or you weren't a part of that, and you become disenfranchised with the group like Rehoboam, he couldn't continue with the integrity of his grandfather David. He wanted to style and profile because the riches had been handed to him. He didn't have to work for them. David had to earn everything he got. David had to fight the enemy. And he knew what it was to lay out in the wilderness, naked and cold, and disfellowshipped. He knew what it was to have to herd the sheep out in the desert like a sheep herder. And he knew all those things. And he knew the misery and the heartache when old Saul was seeking his life, and that David had to run for his life. He had to go to a foreign country and sit down in the feet, and he had to pretend like he had lost his mind in a foreign country. And the people said, "Is this David, the mighty one, the one that slew the giant? Look at him. Why, he's slobbering in his mouth, and he's mad." And they basically made sport of him. And the integrity of David's heart to save itself. Ladies, sometimes, and gentlemen, sometimes you're going to have to humble down before Yahweh. And when you've done wrong, you need to repent. And you need to come back to the elders and make your acknowledgments. And if you don't, you're going to wander in darkness, and you're going to wander, and the Bible said, "He that wandereth out of the way shall remain in the congregation of the dead." And when you get away from the fire, you're going to get cold. And when you get cold, you're going to be indifferent. You're going to be separated from the commonwealth. And ladies and gentlemen, you can't serve two masters here. Just like Rehoboam, he forgot the reasoning and the wisdom of Solomon, his father. And at age 47, here come old Shishak. And he walked in Jerusalem. And he took all the money and the valuables. And in verse 25 of 1 Kings 14, it says, "It came to pass in the fifth year of King Rehoboam that Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem." Now, listen to this. I want to make a point. When you live wrong, when you make an error, Yahweh will allow the devil to come against you and to tempt you to go out farther away from him. Rehoboam listened to the wrong crowd. Rehoboam did the wrong thing. Rehoboam made a wrong decision. And as a result, Yahweh allowed Shishak to come against him. Now, Solomon had married Pharaoh's daughter, like I said, when he was king. And he did have peace with Egypt, but now that Solomon was dead and his son was weakened by a divided kingdom, Shishak saw this as his best chance to break the peace and enrich himself. And when you do wrong, Yahweh will allow others to come against you. He'll let your enemies come against you. The Bible says if a man's ways please Yahweh, even his enemies will be at peace with him. Let those that hate you, he'll let them come against you. When they see you in a weakened state, they will let evil people, Yahweh will. He'll let the evil ones come against you. He'll let demons come against you. And they'll torture your mind, and they'll talk to you in the night season. And they'll keep you awake for hours, and you'll roll and tumble, and you can't have any peace. And then finally, the old devil himself, when you're weakened and battered and beaten down, when you get away from the commonwealth, when you step outside the circle, when you quit lifting your cup with communion, when you quit saying Yahweh's prayers and reading the 91st Psalm in the sacred circle and believing that, when you go out and turn your back on your brothers and and sisters, you're going to have the devil himself start getting on your shoulder and telling you how justified you are. But you're walking away like Rehoboam. He already had the shields there. He already had the gold. The house was already built. The worship temple of Yahweh was already built. He had the kingdom already built, and David had done all the work. Solomon built the building. And David had paid the price to wear the crown of the king. And here's old Rehoboam. He hadn't done nothing but grew up in a rich family. He was spoiled brat. He was still arrogant, puffed up with pride. And the Bible said pride goes before a fall. Don't let pride take you to the balance and be found wanting. Don't let the judgment come upon you and you be found in wanting like all of these men that I'm talking about tonight. Don't let the devil rule over you. Now, we find that the Temple of Solomon, he had his master craftsman to hammer out 300 shields of pure gold. Each shield was made of 3 pounds of pure gold. And if you count it at $350 an ounce, each shield would cost $1,680,000. $16,800 each shield. Now, today's standard, that would go up tremendous. It would be over $45,000 today each shield at 300 of those. These were just for style and profile. This was to show the glory. And if you would look at Solomon's salary of 666 talents of gold, that was 3 billion a year in 900 B.C. of their money of that day. 666 talents would have been 3 billion. What do you think it would have been? It would be over 3 trillion today. This man was rich beyond measure, and old Rehoboam didn't have to do a thing but wait for his daddy to die. No doubt all of the young people admired him. No doubt that he was the envy of all of the women, not only in Israel, but in other countries. And the Bible says this pride that had lifted up in Solomon had rubbed off on Rehoboam. Did you know that the Bible says that he covered the holiest of holies with pure gold? Did you know that the Bible says here in the 14th chapter, and I've read this today, and I said, my heavens above, how wonderful, how glorious Yahweh had blessed this fellowship. No doubt when they stood in the sacred circle, we read where that every new moon they came together and lifted the cup of brotherhood. Every Sabbath they gathered and they blowed the trumpet in Zion, and they styled and they profiled, and they were proud that Yahweh had blessed them. For as long as David was king, he was a man after Yahweh's heart. But the Bible said that when Solomon began to grow old, that the women that he had married, these strange women, you think that they won't turn your heart? And I have warned you not to go after strange women. Men of the faith should stay with the faith. Ladies and gentlemen, I wouldn't let a woman out of the name of Yahweh bake me a biscuit and let her put her shoes under my bed. I would not hook up with an unbelieving woman. Neither should you women hook up with unbelieving men. You should find you a man strong in the faith. Or you should find your woman strong in the faith that's been proven and tested. And yet, we want to go for beauty. Solomon loved many beautiful, strange women. Rehoboam got the arrogant heart, and it was lifted up with pride. He had everything handed to him, and he thought, man, I am the envy of Israel. I'm the talk of the town. And my daddy was rich, and look, he loved all these women, and look how wonderful, look how rich he was when he died. He forgot that Yahweh had said to David, David, your son is misbehaving, and I repent that I ever swore to you that I'd let him sit on this throne. Nevertheless, in order that I wouldn't lie to you, I will let him sit here until he dies, and then I will rend the kingdom from his hand. And that's exactly what Yahweh did. Notice this. I want to show you how rich this Solomon and Rehoboam was. He made the partition chains of pure gold. In other words, the partition between the holiest of all. He made the chains that operate that out of pure gold. Boy, I bet there's a lot of people pulled in chains was thinking, boy, I'd like to have one of those hooks unhook. I'd like to have one of those gold chains. But let me tell you something. Ladies and gentlemen, if you lust after riches and you sell yourself out cheaper than a piece of bread, you're unfit and you're going to be weighed in the balance and you're going to be cast out as pure brass and tinkling cymbal. Money will not get you. Money will not provide for you. It's Yahweh. If you trust in horses and you trust in chariots and you trust in gold, and Solomon had all the gold, look here. The Bible said he covered the cherubims that stood on each side of the altar with pure gold. Oh, man. He covered the floors inside and outside the temple. Inside and outside. Listen to this. With pure gold. He covered the two entrance doors. Pure gold. He made the altar of prayer of pure gold. He made the table of showbread. Oh, pure gold. I ain't talking about 14 carat. I'm talking about pure. 99.99% pure. Almost to the edge of purity. He made the seven golden candlesticks out of pure gold. He made the far tongs out of pure gold. How'd you like to put the altar, the fire, to light the incense on the brazen altar? How would you like to help those tongs in your hand? He made the bowls of service of pure gold. He made the snuffers of pure gold. He made the basins of pure gold. He made the spoons of pure gold. He made the censer of pure gold. He made the hinges for the doors out of pure gold. He covered his throne with pure gold. He made the drinking cups of pure gold. All the vessels in the house in the forest of Lebanon, he made out of pure gold. Now, that's how rich his cat was. And Solomon had so much gold coming in every year that in 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 21, it says that nothing was made of silver. Now, listen to that. Man, they were so rich. I mean, wouldn't you accept silverware, at least silverware? What if you had a drawer full of pure silverware today? You know what that'd be worth? And yet, most people's silverware is just a percentage, just a small percentage. If you've got silverware, you know it's so thin that you wash it a couple of times and you'll see the alloy metal underneath. But the Bible says in 1 Kings 10:21 that nothing was made of silver. Silver was accounted in Solomon's day as nothing. They did not even count the silver. I don't know what they'd done with it. They'd probably give it to the poor or threw it away. I don't know. They'd probably put it in the trash cans. I don't know. Even the trash cans was made out of pure gold. And when Solomon went up to worship Yahweh on the Sabbath, or one of the feast days, the 300 mighty warriors took their shields, and they took them to the roof of the temple. Oh, my. And they stood on the roof behind the gold shields. And when the high Middle East sun hit those shields, it made an excellent example and testimony to the glory of Yahweh and his blessings that had been bestowed upon King Solomon for David's sake. It was beautiful, marvelous, and wonderful sight to behold, ladies and gentlemen. And when Solomon went up to the temple, he was going in style. He was top of the line, first class. Yahweh had made his kingdom. all the other nations. They were envied. No wonder that the Pharaoh wanted to come up and take advantage, because he knew these things, ladies and gentlemen. He knew the rich and the luxurious, because he had been up with Solomon and gave him a wife out of his Egyptian harem. He gave him one of his daughters. And now he's fixed to come up and take the spoil when old Rehoboam is down and out and don't even know it. He wasn't ready for war. He was styling and profiling. He had inherited, he had to work for nothing. The gold on the wall of the temple was saying to the world, this is my house. And when the sun reflected the gold shield, it was saying Yahweh was sending a message to those 300 billion points of light that here we are. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost was the triangle of pure gold, of excellence in your life. And ladies and gentlemen, it represented, because gold is the perfect, it is the perfect representation of the holiness of Yahweh. It represents the purity of Yahweh. And it represents the glory. And it represents the excellence of Yahweh. And when, with this goal, Solomon was showcasing through his father David that Yahweh at his best gives the best and requires the best. Yahweh is excellent, and Yahweh considers us. And when we come up before him, he wants us to be able to say, I have given my best because you gave your best for me. Now, notice this. When old Shishak came to Jerusalem, he took away all the treasures of the temple. He took away the treasures of the king's house. You see how fast Yahweh can turn you over to reprobated mind? You see how fast you can go downhill? The Bible said, be not forgetful be not quick to go out of the sight of Yahweh. He took away the 300 shields of the 3-pound shields, times that was 900 pounds of gold. Carried it away. And no doubt, when he hung it in the halls of the Pharaoh's palace in Egypt, it represented that the light that was represented in Israel and the excellence and the glory that it had gone out through the hardened heart of the just weights and measures, which old Rehoboam had failed because he wouldn't take the counsel of the elders. When they would counsel him to do the right thing, his heart was hardened, and he lifted up his heart, and the Bible says that pride goes before a fall. He took the treasure of the king's house. He took the partition chains. He took the tongs. He took the bowls of pure gold. He took the snuffers. He took the basins. He took the spoons and the forks. He took the censers. He took the ivory throne that was overlaid with pure gold. He took the 12 lions that were overlaid with gold. He took them. And he took the vessels of pure gold. To add the insult to the injury, he stole the 300 shields. And when you don't focus your life on Yahweh, the devil will steal your possessions. The devil will steal your joy. He'll steal your happiness. He'll steal your blessings. He'll steal your money. He'll steal your mind. He'll steal your health. And don't let the devil bring an insult to the glory of Yahweh and the gold heart that you should have. Don't let the devil steal anything, because the joy that you have in Yahweh is your strength. I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, it means a lot not to trade down to grass and find out that when Rehoboam, he was embarrassed, and he didn't want to ask Yahweh. He didn't want to admit his shortcomings. That's just like we are. We're weighed in the balance and we're found wanting. But we try to hide our feelings because we get caught. Yahweh is looking for a truly repentant heart, ladies and gentlemen. And today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. It's easy to get hardened like old Nabob, when he should have given David a portion of his substance. The Bible said he hardened his heart. No, Abigail, what a wonderful woman she was. She took of the possessions of Nabob when he was drunk in the wine and he'd had a big party. She loaded the mules and brought substance to David. This is part of the wealth and the blessings. And she became later one of David's wives that sat in the temple, where that the gold reflection of all of the things that Yahweh had was the things that he had given integrity and the honor that he had bestowed upon David, a man after his own heart. But let me tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Fool's gold, brass. It looks like gold, but it's not. Oh, man. I'm telling you, when you look at yourself, when you become sounding brass, when you become a cheap counterfeit, when you sell out for a piece of bread and deny the brotherhood, when you walk away from the blessings that are due you, ladies and gentlemen, I guarantee you, and you go out and say yourself cheap, I want you to know you can't substitute nothing for just weights and measures. Yahweh wants the very best of you. Give your best. We got people in our movement that give their best. They work night and day to carry on the message, and they support my ministry, and I'm so thankful and proud of them. I'd like to give you a list of those, but I can't because of confidentiality, because Yahweh knows the hearts of the cheerful givers. David had a heart of gold. Solomon had a heart of gold until it turned, the women turned his heart. And here's old Rehoboam. He inherited his father's hardened heart. And he too was shut out in the cold and found wanting in the excellence of Yahweh. Tonight you got my message. I got to get off here. I want to announce tonight, Brother Bob has reminded me that we got live streaming. Just go to our website, oneyahweh.com, and you can click on live streaming. And we have 24/7 messages playing all the time. They're live stream. You can go there and take advantage of listening to these messages that Pastor Buddy does for you 5 nights a week on WWRB 3.185. If you'd like to write me tonight, I'm sponsored by Dr. Gary and Brother Paul and all of those who support Pastor Buddy in tithing and offering that keep my ministry going. I want you to know that you can write me at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. And you can also call me tonight. I'm live. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. Now that's area code 423-626-2172. And if you'd like to, ladies and gentlemen, you can support us by sending us your tithes and offerings. We need your help so that we can stay on there. We'd like to get on more time. I'd like to work this old horse before he leaves the planet. I'd like to labor and put my shoulder to the wheel. I'd like to see the excellence on par with the kingdom that David and Solomon established in Israel in its glory and its heyday. We have fallen short of the mark, and we've been waiting the balance, and most of us have found wanting. Let's measure up. Let's step up and become pure gold. Let's give Yahweh the very best. Yahweh's going to help you in the darkest hours.
Love Yahweh.
Love Yahweh. I'll see you tomorrow. Well, I'll see you Friday night around the world on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel. 9:30 Friday night. I'll be back for part two of Just Weights and Balances. Yahweh bless you, is my prayer. I'll see you and I love you.
And the hope that